You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast, where we blend the art of appraising with a touch of insight and a dash of humor. Whether you're a trainee, a seasoned professional, or just curious about the appraisal world, you've come to the right place. So grab your favorite brew, relax, and join us for some expert tips, real-world stories, and valuable advice to help grow your appraisal business. I'm your host, Dan Lindemann, certified appraiser serving South Florida for over 20 years. Hey, welcome back, appraisers. Today, my guest is Manny Musenak. We're going to talk about marketing and networking. And Manny, why don't you give yourself an introduction and let people know who you are?
All right. So glad for you to have me, Dan. It's an honor to be here on Brews and Appraisal Views. I know this is a new experience for you. So I appreciate you for having me on. So as far as who I am, I'm Manny. I'm with MG Moving Services down here in South Florida. We're headquartered in Northern Virginia. And I'm one of the managing partners here at our location in Florida. We started from scratch. Really, there was original, I guess you could say, footprints back before in around 2013. But we took over around 2019, later and going into 2020, right before COVID. And we got started where we helped grow this company to now being one of the most well-known moving companies down here in South Florida. And right now we're in a position of just wanting to continue to grow and build a footprint outside of South Florida and really break into the rest of Florida. As far as who I am, I'm a father, I'm a husband, well-known in the community when it comes to those kind of things. I love sports, big-time sports guy, I love sports. And as far as besides that, I just love networking, connecting with people, which is funny enough what we're going to talk about. It's something I do pride myself in. I've been in sales and marketing a little over a decade now. I know it's hard to believe with, you know, looking at my face here. But
yeah, how young you look, yeah.
Yeah, a little over a decade. As soon as I got out of high school, I was in sales / marketing and excelled in that. Went from working in finance, doing insurance and investments, transitioned out of that because I burnt out, so to speak, because I did prioritize work a little more than I needed to. And wanted to find something that was a little bit more in the balance side of things as far as being able to maintain a personal life while still having, obviously, an opportunity to make more. And that's why I ended up in moving. Funny enough, the broker in my company when I was in finance was the one that purchased my guys moving back in 2011. And we connected the dots from there after a couple of ventures in the moving space. Fell in love with it. Said, hey, I'm in Florida. I want to expand into moving. What do you got for me? A week later, he's like, we were already working on transitioning down to Florida. And that's how we're here.
Sweet. So I know a lot of appraisers, which is our demographic, is mostly appraisers. They're wondering why the heck I'm talking to a mover and how that could give some insights. But I've known Manny a couple of years now. We ran into each other at some networking things and we're a member of a similar networking group. But we have the same exact target. Divorce attorneys, estate attorneys, and real estate agents, which is the biggest three referral sources for me. And it made sense to talk to you because those are your referral sources. And I know you do a lot of sales and you're constantly selling, and that's something appraisers don't do. We're not the best salespeople. So hopefully this episode can give them some insights as to, you know, how to become better at marketing and selling their services to this demographic, attorneys and agents. So like in your business, what's your typical, how do you go about marketing? Let's say we'll start with agents. How do you go about marketing to agents? What do you normally do?
So when it comes to agents, it was kind of unorthodox for me when I got into the industry, funny enough. The more I'm in it, I realized that should have been the baseline from whatever I did. So it's something that really does set us apart in the moving industry. And when it comes to agents, they're the first ones that know who's moving, if you think about it, right? Because ultimately they're involved with the clients and they help them with the transition of obviously going from home to home. And when it comes to marketing to agents, you know, my end goal is to kind of make them realize I'm here to enhance your client experience. It's very easy for agents to refer mortgage people because a transaction can't happen without it. Very easy for, you know, title companies to get referred, you name it. So when it came to moving, it is a little unorthodox for them in the sense of they're not used to being marketed to as much as like a mortgage guy or a title guy. So for me, you know, I guess you could say the wind was at my back.
When Manny, I started- real quick, push your mic back just a little for me because it's a little staticky.
What about here?
Yeah, we'll try that. That sounds good.
Okay, cool. So when I started marketing to them, the wind was at my back, so to speak, because there was not much competition when it came to moving. So when it comes to marketing to them, my end goal is obviously how do I become a partner and not just the help, which is probably something that's going to be beneficial for an appraisal person, because it's very easy to get categorized as the help in this line of work. And when I say help, I mean more so just a transactional piece to the process versus being a true partner that they know that they're building their business with, because ultimately you guys are bringing value that they can't deny. So more important than just being the help, look at it from being a partner. So when I network with a realtor, I'm not presenting just the idea of servicing a move. I want them to know that I'm also involved in your marketing efforts. I'm involved in your efforts when it comes to introducing your services to new customers. And I always find value adds that I could present to them that they can bring to the table, that is not just me executing a move, but more so here's all the other areas that we can help. And most importantly, if you want to help with your marketing, I want to help you in that area as well, because we're partners, not just to help.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So that's awesome. As a partner of an agent, that's a good way to sell yourself, is like, hey, I'm not just your, like, just don't hire me just this one time. Listen, I'm your partner. I'm helping these people, your sellers, move out of the house, finding them a new location. I'm making your life easier. I'm your partner right in this. So I like that sales technique is, you know, helping them. So that's essentially what appraisers are going to do, is help them sell that listing faster by pricing it properly. Like your partner in the listing. I like that.
Correct.
Now how about, so what's your sales technique? Is like, are you going to real estate offices? Are you cold calling agents? What are you doing?
As far as how I go about it, I'm big on, so like, for example, you have your cold market, which is obviously going out there, guerrilla marketing style, knocking on doors. And then you have the warm market approach, which is working on a referral basis. Now, I will tell anybody that's trying to work with realtors, it's a much easier approach if you can get to working on a warm market based marketing, which means you have a realtor referring another realtor. And I can say I'm at a state in my career where I have now realtors referring me to other realtors, which I think is an easier lifestyle to live, which of course I still do the groundwork as far as more of the cold market approach. So when I first started, I did a lot of cold marketing. So walked into an office, hey, I'm Manny with MG Moving. And I work with a lot of agents in the area and I wanted to see if I could bring some value to you. Do you have a mover you could depend on? Usually when I asked that question, it was like a 50-50 coin. And if even either way, it was never a no that I couldn't work around, right? So if I heard no, great news, awesome, obviously we can help out. And if I heard a yes, I still didn't run away from that. I actually got even more excited because A, that means you're probably referring consistently, right? Most people, when they hear that there's other people in their line of work that are probably getting referred, you might get, depressed, because you're like, oh my gosh, they already got somebody. No, that's not something, that's not bad news. And my belief is if you look at it in the right perspective, you got to understand, like in my line of work, it's very easy to get booked out and busy. So naturally, if you think about it, it's easier for you to say, okay, well, I understand that you're working with somebody, but ultimately what I want to do is help you out in the cases that your current provider gets too busy, that you want to make sure you have a reliable referral outside of that. I can't tell you enough times that I went from just the reliable number two to becoming a first option because I came through when it mattered most. And that's something that a lot of people that I talk to, you got to understand your role. You don't always have to have the best seat in the relationship right away. Sometimes you got to earn that trust. And once you earn that trust, you're golden. And I have a talk with my guys. It's better to be a reliable number two than the first one to mess up. And sometimes in some relationships. And you just work until you earn that spot. And then outside of that, I go to a ton of networking events that are around the real estate space. So I can't, I talk to my guys now. You have brokers opens, you have open houses, you have networking events solely for realtors, which there's a ton of those happening around town. If you go on eventbrite.com, they have all different events around real estate. And you just go out there and network. I can't tell you enough events that I went to in my first 2 years that I went to day in and day out, consistently, where I just rub shoulders. And there's sometimes when you're the only one in the room and it feels pretty awkward, but the more you do it, the more you start to see familiar faces, which makes it easier. So a lot of people that aren't comfortable networking, I want you to eliminate that mindset that I'm not comfortable networking. That's not the problem. You just haven't done enough reps, right? So I'm currently going into the gym now. I know you can tell, it looks pretty obvious. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But the one thing I can tell you is the more reps you do, the easier things get, right? So if you're saying you're somebody that doesn't like to network, yes, you have to fight that uncomfortable feeling. Now, if you're looking for motivation to do that, either A, look at your bank account, and I don't mean that to be rude, but to be motivating. Look at your situation. Look at where you're at. You want more, right? If you want more, you have to do more. So I had to realize, okay, if I want to have success at this, I just got to keep doing it. And the more you do it, it gets easier because there's more people that you can relate to that you meet. And there's a principle that I teach my guys that makes it so easy to network. I want you to remember this four letter word, Ford. I don't know if I can show you that on the screen, but the word Ford, if you break it down into four letters, you have F that stands for family. You have O that stands for occupation. You have R that stands for recreation, and you have D that stands for dreams. With those four words, you can hold a conversation with anybody for however long you'd like. But all you have to do is find out of those four words, which one resonates with them the most. And you go through it in a cycle. When you meet them, talk to them about family. If you realize that doesn't get them going, talk about occupation. If that doesn't get them going, talk about what they like to do, their recreation. If that doesn't get them going, talk to them about their dreams. What do they aspire to do, right? And based on those four pillars of a conversation, you can have a conversation that can go as long as you'd like, but you have to pay attention. What makes their eyes light up? What helps them keep the conversation going naturally where you have to talk less? Because the end goal, if you're someone like me that doesn't like to actually talk as much, you find what they like to talk about and let them talk.
Yeah, so that's one thing I learned as well. Yeah. The last thing I want to talk to somebody, I don't want to talk somebody's ear off about my life, but I'll let them talk as much as they want, because everybody's favorite topic, well, besides people who like to listen, is themselves. That's all right. They like to talk about is themselves. So just give them that opportunity. And I love the Ford, you know, family, occupation, recreation, dream. Just cycle through it. If you're getting stuck on something, that's an awesome for somebody to remember, because yeah, once somebody gets on the topic of themselves and you're acting interested in their life, which you actually are interested in their life, but the connection is going to be so much greater when you do that. That's awesome. So, and I love you and your little 2 minute rant you just went on. You had so many good nuggets for people to, that we could probably delve into each one, but the getting a no, like, oh no, we already have a mover at this office. Here's what else I can do. I can be your backup. And then eventually that backup's going to be the first one. So that's a great way to challenge no. Is like, hey, I've already been working with an appraiser. Hey, but what happens when that appraiser's out of town or that appraiser's busy? Listen, just give me a call. I'll be happy to help. Listen, I don't need to be your number one guy right now or girl. But yeah, just give me a call if something happens. I love that. That's good, because you're going to get rejected. You get rejected all the time when people say no to an assignment or something or no to a bid. So just pretend like it's the same rejection in marketing. I like that.
And here's the good news. If you're working consistently and working as hard as you should, then you understand that if you plant enough seeds, the fruits are going to come to grow, right? So when you're talking to enough people, whoever says no, just understand that's just a part of the process. So fall in love with the no, because you understand it, just all of it comes together one way or the other. So I've had people that tell me no, and a month or a year later, maybe even 2 years later, I get a call saying, hey, I took your number down from when we last spoke, and I'd love to work with you now, blah, 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 blah. So just understand that all of it comes together, but don't focus on the result of what you hear. More so just take pride in doing the numbers of what activity leads to the results that you want.
Exactly. And if you're speaking to 10 people, you're going to get like 9 no's and 1 yes. And you only need that yes to, you know, give you a book of business after that and introduce you to more people.
That's it.
So another reason is Manny is really good at marketing, sales, networking. But we're making this more difficult. When me and him talked and realized we had a similar client base we're trying to go after, at that point, you can share your lead, you can share your database with somebody else and introduce them, not in addition to you, is like, hey, I'm just an appraiser, but hey, by the way, have you met Manny the mover here? He can help your estate clients, you know, get rid of mom's furniture after she passes, or this divorcing client, you know, clear out one spouse or the other and help separate stuff, whatever the case may be. You're then bringing value to that attorney or that agent, like, hey, by the way, I have a network which you can rely on as well. And we're not reinventing the wheel here. We're making it easy for us to network together almost for the same market.
Yes. And, you know, I'm happy you said that, because that is probably the one thing that a lot of people make the mistake of doing, is that they put blinders on. Like, for example, I'm assuming realtors naturally for a brand new appraiser is going to be like their first target, right? And that's like the easiest way to miss the bigger picture. There's so many interconnected industries, right, that all work with the same end client, which is our realtors or the attorneys, that it'd be a huge mistake if you're not intentionally wanting to network with a lot of people that work around the sphere of the people that you want to work with, right? So for example, like me and Dan, we are in a networking group and we actually share the same common goal, which is working with more estate planning attorneys.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I'm in moving. He's in appraisal. It couldn't be two more different industries, right? But yet we have such an easy continuity because we have the same referral source that we can work for. So for me now, when I network, I always now think about my partners that are looking for the end contact, which makes it easier for them to grow their network and mine and vice versa. So it'd be in your best interest to break the blinders and realize that there's other industries that work in the same end goal as you. And you actually collapse time frames by making friends with people that they're not going to be your competition, because it's not like you're working with another appraiser, right? But they have the same end goal as you. So you're almost collapsing time frames working with somebody else that's similar in the world that you want to go after.
Yeah, and that's the advantage to meeting new people. I would never have met you if we weren't networking.
Right.
So, and some people may just skip past, an appraiser may skip past the mover and be like, oh yeah, it's just a mover. Like, I don't have a need for that in my network, but like, oh shit, yeah, he's marketing to the same people. Maybe we should like see what we can do for each other and help each other out. So it's just making it easier. And plus networking, if you're not in marketing and getting yourself out there, if you're not comfortable with that, what better way is to do it with somebody else? Like go to an event with somebody else that you're together yes. with. Be like, hey, have you met him? Have you met her? Like, hey, this is my friend. Like it makes it so much more comfortable when you have somebody at one of those stupid networking events and you're going around introducing yourself and meeting people to actually have a partner there. And, yeah. you know, it makes it so much easier, especially for people who are afraid to do that.
And there's techniques to it as well, which if you allow me to share. So when you're at those networking events, like you said, it's 10 times easier, like he's talking about, to go with somebody you know. Now, there's a great thing about it, but there's also a danger to it as well, because of the fact that you don't want to only talk to that one person that you know at that event. Make sure you obviously network, go out yeah. there and meet people. So the beauty of it is if you guys work as a team, there's an approach where you should never close off yourselves to the crowd. Always stand in an open stance like this so that you allow – you got something, Dan?
Yeah, that's real. This is a very good point. Very good point.
Always stand in an open stance, which implies that you guys are welcoming new conversations. A lot of times when you're in that buddy-buddy conversation, it implies that there's no openness here and that we're only having a one-on-one conversation. And that's how you miss a lot of people that be comfortable walking up to you. And that's how you kind of miss the bigger picture. So I always tell people when you're in those kind of spaces with a friend, divide and conquer, right? Pull somebody that you see that you would want to have in a conversation, right? Create a space that you're cultivating a conversation, because now everybody else in the event is going to look at you and say, oh, these guys are actually cool people to talk to because there's other people talking to them. So now they're going to naturally want to gravitate to you because they see you talking to other people.
Right. So what Manny's saying is like, if there's like two or three of you, even if two of you, like stand in like a half moon almost and leave the circle open so somebody can naturally walk up, because nobody's going to walk up to two people facing each other because they're having an intimate conversation and it's not something you want to disturb. Like, oh, by the way, here I am. But when you have that, it's a simple thing. Having that like half moon allows people to walk in and join the conversation. And right. Let them come in, allows them to come to you because they're just as nervous sometimes. So if you give them an opening, they're definitely going to step into it.
And it's funny you say that, because the other thing to it as well, you realize when you're in those spaces, it's actually much more beneficial, which I don't know, this may be taboo, but it's actually more beneficial to talk less business and talk more life. Because the more fun your conversation looks, the more welcoming it is to other people. Right. But if it looks like you're straight face talking serious business, it naturally doesn't invite much people because it looks like you're talking about something that you don't want to interrupt. But if you're having fun, you're laughing, you're enjoying conversations. Maybe like, for example, we had an event from this past weekend. Let's talk Super Bowl first. Right. Because now there's other people that can relate. It makes it an easier, welcoming conversation that people can jump right into.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because and it's, you shouldn't be selling yourselves immediately when you meet somebody anyways. So that's the sales conversation is not even happening at your first meeting. It may be like the fourth meeting before you like say, hey, by the way, if you have a need for this in the future, please just remember me or think about me if I do X, Y, and Z or whatever. But your only goal is to like just to get to know them and learn more about their business, not your business. And then the sales will come later. Like it'll come naturally later. I hate Correct. Doing it. I don't think somebody's selling up front. It puts people off immediately. Like, oh, yeah, you should hire Manny here because I do moving stuff. Like,
he's the best.
Who the fuck wants to hire you? Nobody wants to hire you meeting you at a network group. They want to, like, realize, like, hey, this is a really good
guy.
He's got a great business here. Yeah, I want to feed him business because I like him. I know him, you know?
Correct. So, and you said it right. You know the whole – you know the saying. You got to know, like, and trust. If once you have those three things figured out, the relationship is done. But you can't trust somebody unless you like them. You can't like them unless you know them. So why not spend the time meeting somebody, getting to know them on a personal level, finding out, like I said, the forward method, because that takes the walls down of saying, do I even want to give, you know, let this person in? Once they put that guard down, game, set, match. Now when you go to do the follow-up on an email or a phone call, it's not awkward, nor does it get pushed off to the side, because I remember that guy. I liked that guy when we met. I definitely want to keep him around.
So, okay, I'm going to pause for a second and play our sponsor clip, but I wanted to talk to you about, you know, how you keep track of all these contacts in a second. So just bear with me real quick. This episode is sponsored by the Appraisal Referral Network, a community built by appraisers for appraisers. Unlock new opportunities and earn more private work by leveraging peer-to-peer referrals. You'll also connect with nearby appraisers and access valuable lessons to expand your non-lender business. If you're ready to grow your income and reach new levels, head over to referappraisals.com and join the Appraisal Referral Network today. All right, welcome back, appraisers. All right, so Manny, you're at an event and you meet, I don't know, three new people. Like, what are you doing with that contact information? How are you remembering, like, what conversations you had? How do you keep track of that in your business?
Great question. So when I'm at a networking event, two pockets in your pants, right? Obviously hoping you're wearing pants. One pocket has your business cards. I usually leave that in my left pocket. And then my right pocket is open to obviously the receiving cards. Now, before we get into the answer right away, because I'm talking business cards, always ask for a business card first. Do not give yours first. Remember, everybody like Dan talks about has a flashing sign that says, wham, what about me? What is in it for me, right? So the more that they talk about themselves, the better. So that's like baseline for that conversation. Now, how I go about communication. So I take all the new business cards into that right pocket, and then all the standout contacts that I meet at the event, I put back in that pocket with my actual business cards. So now I've separated the two as here is the people I really want to talk to, and here's some people that I met, right? And then that's how I prioritize communication. Sometimes I'll save a note in my phone or put in a reminder that says, hey, call such and such and remember to talk about this. And you do it right here on the spot. I mean, we're in a digital age. Hey, Siri, remind me to text blase blase and remind me to state this, this, and this, right? And that's kind of my way to keep track and tabs on conversations. But most times I'm young enough to remember a lot of things. But if I'm busy enough where I'm like, I know I'm not going to remember that, I'll do something like that. The other thing, too, you can do is you can save the contact. And under the contact card, there's a note section that you can actually save information about the person that you just met. Now, the golden rule that we have in our company is you should never go longer than 48 hours from a new event without making a touch. No more than 48 hours. After 48 hours, just know you're as good as remembering what underwear they wore on Monday.
Got it.
For example, Dan, what touch? Color underwear did you wear on Monday?
I have exactly. No clue. Right? I don't wear underwear many.
So that's exactly.
Good question.
So you get it. So 48 hours is the golden rule. I would push you to say go as far as 24 hours. I used to, when I first started, 24 hours was a lot easier than 48 hours. Now I would say at the bare minimum, it's 48 hours because I'll either send a text, a phone, email, or a phone call. But here's my priority list. If you haven't done any kind of networking or if any of it's uncomfortable, there's a book you want to read, The 7 Levels of Communication. I think I have it here. No, I don't. Oh, I do actually have it here. 7 Levels of Communication. This book right here is the networking basics, like starter kit. If you wanted to get the strongest understanding of how to network and keep in communication with your contacts, here's the book to read. It's by Michael J. Maher, and it's Go From Relationships to Referrals. And he talks about why make a email when you can make a text? Why make a text when you can make a phone call? Why make a phone call when you can write a letter, right? Which a letter is like the highest level of communication. And these are the things that leave a lasting impression because naturally human nature, we're going to choose easy. And sometimes easy is an email or a text. But you got to ask yourself, how often do you get emails and texts versus you getting phone calls and letters? So if you're talking to a player that you want to work with that can lead you to a ton of business, then you need to separate yourself from the pack. There's going to be other appraisers going after that same person. But if you're not doing something that's going to set you apart, it's going to be easy for you to fall into the large pool of people doing the exact same thing that you're doing. So when I meet somebody that I really want to work with, I'm making a phone call at the bare minimum. But if I really want to make an impression, I send a letter.
Absolutely agree. So appraisers, right here, I have a postcard. It's got my business on the front and on the back is a postcard. And if after I meet somebody, sometimes an agent, I'll just fill this out and be like, hey, by the way, it was nice meeting you at such and such listing. You know, feel free to reach out if you ever need anything. I'm your trusted source for any appraisal questions or whatever bullshit you want to write, something like that. I guarantee you no appraisers are sending a postcard, a postcard to agents or even attorneys. Like even after a networking group, you can just send this out the next day and be like, yo, awesome connecting with you at Top 42. Next time we'll get a beer and, you know, talk about more about your trip that you just said you were going on or whatever the case may be. So correct. This is a really good idea. Writing a letter, like Manny said, or a postcard is something nobody else does. Like it shows you actually want to develop a relationship with that contact
correct.
And not just adding them to some database and sending them the, hey, happy Valentine's Day. Hey, you know, happy President's Day or whatever the case may be.
Yep. Like right now I'm looking at a wall of all my thank you cards I've ever gotten from a client and it has a wall. Like if writing a letter doesn't talk to you how valuable that is. So when we're telling you these things, I'm saying it because if you really want to separate yourself from the pack and stand out and make your connections matter, then you got to do the extra mile. And if you're somebody that's newer in the business, it's a no-brainer. You have the time. I know you have the time. It just takes discipline because someone like Dan doing like that, only thing we didn't talk about is the discipline. And the mindset to actually take the time to do it. So it's something that I think really sets us apart. But like I said, going back to the basics, 48 hours max to make a touch right after an event will be the best thing you could do. And make sure that they have your contact saved after you meet with them, right? So that's something I would definitely advise.
Yeah, that's a great tip. 48 hours, less than 48 hours. And appraiser, you can sub this work out. You can have somebody else write the letter or whatever, an assistant, like if you don't want to do it. But you need to make this time.
Postables. I'll give you guys the cheat code.
Have it done by somebody who's at a lower hourly rate than you.
Correct.
Ideally, but starting out, who cares? Just write them yourself. Spend an evening on the couch and just write these out and send out, you know, 5 a week or something, whatever the case may be. It's better than nothing at all, and it's going to get your phone ringing or at least meetings on the schedule. Like, hey, follow up coffee or follow up drinks or something like that. That's the only way you're going to build these relationships, which is what you want. Relationships. You don't want people just calling you one offs. You right. want relationships and ongoing referrals from these people because then it spirals out of control from there. They'll refer another agent. They'll refer another attorney, and it'll go on from there. So you just need to put in the legwork and actually follow through on some of this stuff.
Yes. And you said it too as well when you mentioned the phone calls. I know you do it yourself where you actually touch base with your agents and your contacts, like, hey, how's everything going? But remember, a lot of times it's uncomfortable to do, because like when I first started, it was uncomfortable. So I'm like, oh, what are we going to talk about? There's always that awkward 5-10 minute window of like trying to play catch up and not sound like the last guy that called them looking for referrals. But you don't have to do that. Lean on forward. Ask about the family. Ask about the job. Ask about the recreation. Ask about the dreams. Remember, whatever made them light up, that's your next phone call. And that's all you have to talk about. But get better with the details. If they like to talk about their family, remember their kid's name. Remember their wife's name. Remember this. Remember that, right? Because the better you remember and the deeper you can go into those topics, you are never going to be forgotten. You're not. Yeah. The people that know you the best are the ones you have the best relationships with. That simple.
I agree. Those are some really good tips. I know you're pressed for time today, Manny, so we're going to probably end it here soon. But you gave some excellent tips. Forward is excellent for people to remember when you're stuck. You know, family, occupation, recreation, dreams. Bring those up when all else fails and you're feeling uncomfortable, and let people talk about themselves. Under 48 hours, send them a message, a follow-up message after meeting them. And then what you were just saying, Manny, is some excellent advice. So I really appreciate you being a guest, Manny. Thank you very much for your time. I could probably talk to you for 3 hours on marketing, and you're an excellent salesperson. You're the best salesperson I know and best marketer. So I appreciate you sharing some insights with appraisers. So anything else you want to say, Manny?
Nope, that's it. I think we're good. I appreciate you for having me on. I wish everybody that's listening to this takes something from it. Hopefully I brought some kind of value. You can find me on Instagram and at Manny the Mover. And we're MG Moving, so you can look us up on there as well. And we're always looking to connect. So one way to network as well is social media, and I'm strong in that area too, and would love to connect with anybody I'd like to connect.
Yeah, maybe we should do a follow-up one on social media. That's a good topic as well.
Yeah.
All right, Manny, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. Take care.
Thanks for joining us on the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found some value in it, which you can apply to your appraisal business. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave a review. It really helps us reach more appraisers like you. For more tips and to connect with other appraisers, visit referappraisals.com. Until next time, keep brewing up success in your business, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.